You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Him, those guys are going to be on this roster.
Daniels tap dancing around and down into the end zone for a touchdown.
So I'm not going to do that thing where, you know, last week was completely meaningless when they looked horrible, and this week, because they looked much better, somehow it just became super meaningful. But watching number 5 on that one play was a reminder of what our team has. It has one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And we got reminded of that on one play during a 4-play series in which he did not throw a pass. Good morning, everybody. That was much better, you know, much better than what we saw last week. And of course it was. Players that are actually going to make the team and play in regular season games, they played last night. Not everybody. The offense certainly wasn't, you know, what you would think or sort of pencil it out to be on September 7th against the Giants. But when you have players who are actual NFL players in 2025 playing for your team in a game, it's very likely going to look much better. Today's show is going to be mostly about last night and a lot about Terry and Brian Robinson Jr., because those two individuals are still the biggest stories right now in Washington's preseason, despite last night looking pretty good. I'll remind everybody, because I'm in the business of reminding this morning, 31-17 was the final score, if you care. Washington lost the game to the Cincinnati Bengals. But I would say that if you are, you know, one to kind of take the results of preseason games a little bit more seriously than most, especially when starters are in the game, man, you are more concerned if you are a Cincinnati fan than if you are a Washington fan. I'll get to my game take coming up in the next segment. I want to start with this. Two big takeaways from last night. All right. Number one is, yeah, it looks much different when starters are playing. And overall, I thought it was a good night for Dan Quinn and his coaching staff. How so? Because last week, one of the observations that I think everybody shared, and I think it was justified, and Dan Quinn backed it up, was despite the players being on the field not being players that likely will, you know, be on an NFL roster in 2025, their urgency, their effort, their intensity was really subpar, you know, compared to New England's. Now, you know, Vrabel is a first-year head coach. He played his starters. They were fired up. But it really, side-by-side, comparatively, looked terrible. And, you know, part of what you look for in a coaching staff is the ability to kind of motivate and get players to respond legitimately. Now, these were new players for the most part on the field last night for at least, you know, portions of the first half. But Washington was an energetic, enthusiastic, and, you know, a team that played with urgency. It was what we saw last year for so much of the year, including the preseason. Dan Quinn can coach, all right? Dan Quinn understands the pulse of his football team. It may look terrible in November if they're, you know, 5-6 and they didn't post for a couple of games, but I doubt that's ever going to be the issue with him. I just don't see that being the issue with him. I don't see Dan Quinn ever losing a football team. I don't see Dan Quinn having a football team lose faith in him or tune him out. They didn't do that in Atlanta, you know, when he ultimately was let go after, you know, a season that started very poorly. No one ever said Dan Quinn lost the team. Players didn't respect Dan Quinn. They do. This was an excellent hire by Adam Peters in his first move as the team's front office captain, the general manager. You know, in the face of a lot of criticism, a lot of pushback from media members, fans, he's, you know, we're just rehashing, he's a retread. The Falcons let him go after he started 0-5 in his final year there. Why would you do that when there are all these coordinators, including guys like Ben Johnson, who didn't want the job, didn't want a head coaching job? How many times did I hear Slowick's name? He got fired last year as the offensive coordinator. They went with a culture changer and a really good head coach who could attract other good coaches because of how much he is respected in the league. It's a small thing I understand to focus on after last night. But one of the things I thought about in watching this team last night versus last week, again, the players being different is a big part of it, but it doesn't really matter. You know, player number 86 and player number 5, when it comes to enthusiasm and urgency and effort, you know, and try hard and hustle. Quinn's a hustle guy. He likes playing until the whistle. They've talked about that from the beginning. And to see them turn that around in, what, 9 days, 10 days? Even though it's preseason, it's impressive to me. He has the attention of everybody in that organization. He's a really good coach. I don't know if he's going to win a Super Bowl here. I don't know if he'll get this team to a Super Bowl. He got a lesser team. I mean, Matt Ryan was the MVP. He had an outstanding coordinator in Kyle Shanahan. He's got an outstanding coordinator. That is part of his overall approach. He is not afraid of putting really good, talented, smart people around him. That's what he attracted to this organization. Washington has an outstanding coaching staff. You know, I think by the time we get to the end of this upcoming season, it's going to be considered, you know, in that 5 to 10 range of coaching staffs. It was just during this offseason somewhere between 10 and 15, typically, by most NFL pundits that ranked coaching staffs. But man, one of the big reasons for the glory years and the run from 81 through 92 was the coaching staff and how high quality it was from Joe Gibbs on down. And sure, the front office, Bobby Bethard, eventually Charlie Casserly, given the ability by an owner to do what it took to win, all of those things are important. But man, when it comes to how's a team going to respond off of what was a disappointing effort game last week, Dan Quinn got them to give great effort last night. I thought the level of you know, just speed, the up-tempo, the not necessarily playing with desperation, but there was a need to go out and erase the memory of last week, despite it being a preseason game. The second takeaway, before I get to my game take and get into the details of last night, what I liked, what I didn't like, etc., is I think last night was an interesting night because two players for Washington, Terry McLaurin and Brian Robinson Jr., who are major storylines, not only for this team, but in Terry's case, he is a major NFL league storyline over the last couple of weeks. Brian Robinson Jr. and Terry McLaurin last night didn't post. They weren't there for the game. Now, the Brian Robinson Jr. report, you know, after the show yesterday, Mike Garofolo had it, Ben had it, is that there was some sort of mutual decision reached. This was a team decision to keep Brian Robinson Jr. from playing. They are trying to move him. They're trying to get something back for him. He is done. I mean, I think that's obvious, right? He is done. And last night, I think anybody that felt like that wasn't the right move feels maybe a little bit differently. Preseason, terrible defense. We'll get to all of that that they faced. But the two running backs that replaced him did a pretty good job last night and looked the part, whether in aggregate or individually. But Terry McLaurin also was a no-show. And yet, on the other side of the field, another major confrontational, you know, at times ugly negotiation with the football team, Trey Hendrickson, he was there. You know, he was there and he was being supportive of teammates, etc. And I do think that there is a contrast to be drawn. I think Terry and his agent are going to have to deal with reality, and sooner rather than later. The team is off today. They practice tomorrow. I would assume he will be a participant in the way the team wants him to be a participant coming off the PUP list. If not, things could get uglier with the team perhaps looking to maybe pull the offer and start to find Terry, despite his presence in the building. You know, they're now, they've got a plan for him to ramp him up for the opener. You know, this isn't a player who is holding out without a contract, which isn't a holdout when you don't have a contract. This isn't a guy waiting for a new deal. This is a guy with a deal waiting for an extension. I think the reality here is he's not getting a Justin Jefferson or even a DK Metcalf deal. He's not getting $70 to $80 million in guaranteed money. He's not getting $33-plus million a year. Nobody in the league, according to Charles Robinson from Yahoo, would give him that deal. Not that the team would, if somebody was willing to do it and trade meaningful compensation, not that the team would do it. I don't think the team has any interest in trading Terry. Why? Because they need him. They want him. He's under contract to play for them. We are starting to realize as a group, I think, that 30-year-old wide receivers aren't owed big contract extensions. They're not givens. Far from it. And Washington is willing to give him one, but not one that overpays the market by a lot and simultaneously sets a terrible precedent for a front office negotiating its first big deal. I'm not trying to say that Terry not posting versus Trey Hendrickson posting is like this contrast in one guy that handled it the right way and one guy that handled it poorly. But what I am saying is that not showing last night makes Terry much more of a holdout than a hold in. And the team might start treating him as a holdout if he doesn't get to work and quickly. All right. My game take coming up. We'll get to that. We'll take a break. We'll come back and I'll give you what I liked, what I didn't like, other observations from last night's preseason game number two. You know, it was used to be that preseason game number three was like the dress rehearsal game. I don't even think there's anything resembling a dress rehearsal preseason game anymore. Maybe for a team treating it the way Cincinnati did, but even they pulled many of their starters after the opening drive. The only one they didn't pull was Joe Burrow. I'll give you what I liked and what I didn't like from, I think the last time we'll see anybody meaningful on the roster play in the preseason when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We are also free and live on the Odyssey app. Don't forget, you can stream this show on the Team 980's YouTube channel. Hit the subscribe button and the like button when you get there.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If there was a thought bubble over my head when we came out, it would have been, okay, there it is. The energy, the intensity, and it was definitely good to see that. There would probably be some other stuff that you wouldn't have wanted to see in that thought bubble at the half, giving up some scores into those spaces. So those were a few of the things I liked. I was excited to see Debo run. Honestly, I'd been on the other side of that, and I know what that movie looks like, so that was cool to see. Saw John Bates again in the run game. I felt all the presence with him. And I felt the D-line active early. What I told the team, these penalties, you know, they cost us. We had a fourth down penalty. And those were the ones I thought, man, like, that's our winning time. We've got to nail those. And then coming out for the second half, I liked some of the intensity. I thought the run game, you know, early was better than late. But more than our last outing, intensity better, tackling better. But we have much to clean up to get to the standards that we want to play at.
Dan Quinn last night. That was his opening statement. He just gave you a game take from last night. But that first part, the energy, the intensity, it was definitely good to see that. And that is what coaching is all about sometimes, getting your team to play with that level because they respond to you. Now let's get to my game take. All right, the good. And there was a lot of it last night. Again, you know, caveat, preseason, Cincinnati playing some of their starters, some not. Washington the same offensively. They had a lot of their projected week one starters not on the field. You know, there isn't really a lot of game planning. The idea of winning the game, I know that this is contrary to the way many people operate, is not the priority. It is player evaluation for the most part. I'll start with number one on the list of good. Like I said in the open, and Quinn said it as part of his opening statement, I just thought that from where they were against the Patriots, which seemed to be lack of energy, again, different player group that was out there for the most part, not a lot of effort, enthusiasm. Last night was completely different on both sides of the ball and even on special teams. Number two on the list of good, first drive on offense. I don't care what level of football it is or what type of game it is, an exhibition or whatever you want to call, you know, these preseason games. When you can rush the ball 74 yards on four plays, that is, you know, a bit of a statement. You know, it started with the Debo jet sweep for 19 yards on the first play from scrimmage. I've been, you know, very adamant that if he stays healthy, and that's a big if, and it's a big part of the narrative with Debo, I get it. But I just have a feeling that this dude is poised for a big season. We know he's capable of it. He'll play with the best quarterback he's ever played with. He'll play in a scheme with Cliff Kingsbury that will really suit his, you know, gadgetry, weapon, you know, skills, all-around versatility. And of course, you have to add, he's playing on a contract year. That first, you know, jet sweep against a terrible defensive team last year, and maybe again this year, who knows? It just looked like vintage Debo, and I think we're going to see a lot of that this year. May have been a little bit of a statement, too, like, hey, we got a lot of different ways we can move the football on offense with the weapons we have, even if we don't have our number one wide receiver right now. He looked great. Then came Chris Rodriguez with, by the way, some help from John Bates, ripping off a 40-yard run. Then two plays later, it's J.D., 14 yards, scramble. That second play that Quinn talks about, you know, the play extension, he is elite level at that. It's him, and it's Lamar, and it's Mahomes. That's the list in this league of the quarterbacks that are devastating once the initial plan breaks down. You know, I guess there was a certain level of angst with him running, and would he take a hit? He really didn't get touched until he got around the goal line, and nobody was going to lay him out there in a preseason game. Again, a reminder, you know, on one play, four plays in total on the drive where he didn't drop back but that one time, just how lethal he can be and just how much he and his presence as, you know, an everything quarterback raises everybody around him. Number three on the list of good was the second drive offensively without Jaden in the game. Josh Johnson came into the game, but how about three plays, 44 yards, touchdown run from, yes, Ja'Cory, a.k.a. Bill Kroski Merritt, 27-yard old school hogs counter Trey. And he didn't get touched until he had crossed the goal line. And once again, John Bates, wow, big-time block. Merritt saw it, exploded. Hard to ask for a better two-drive preseason result offensively than seven plays, 118 yards, 106 on the ground, 17.7 yards per carry. And they did it in just 3 minutes. 14 points in 3 minutes. Let's go through the individuals. Jaden, of course, again, you know, I mean, you don't see it in practice. You're not going to see it maybe even in a joint practice where, you're going to see it in games, even in a preseason game, where he is deadly. He's so good on schedule. He is lethal off schedule. And you don't see that until the real games begin. But you saw a glimpse of it last night. God, is his vision and feel in the pocket spectacular. One of my sons texted me after that touchdown run, and he said, "Dad, I don't think RG3 ever had the vision that JD has." No, two completely different players. Deebo Samuel on the list of good. One carry, he looked great. He's my pick, really, to have a huge year. Of the players that, you know, everybody maybe is split on, I'm not talking about the players that we know are very confident will have a big year, like Jaden. But I think Debo's going to have a big year. We'll see, because health is everything. If he's healthy, you know, he has a chance in this offense to have a huge year. Clearly on the list of good, both running backs. Chris Rodriguez is powerful. I think he's got good vision between the tackles. Six carries, 62 yards. That equals 10.3 yards per carry, including that 40-yarder on the opening drive of the game. And then you got Bill Kroski-Merritt. Excellent vision, really good burst, 11 for 46, 4.2 yards per carry with that 27-yard counter Trey touchdown run. I was surprised, I don't know about you guys, I was surprised he was in there in the second half of the game. I was curious as to why they wanted to see more of him than Chris Rodriguez. Assuming that both will be on the final roster now with Eckler and McNichols, because I think Eckler and McNichols are givens, and I think, you know, Kroski-Merritt, I think, you know, Chris Rodriguez has to be a given. Remember, they only kept three running backs last year on the final 53-man roster before the regular season began. I think they have to keep four. Brian Robinson Jr. will be gone, whether by trade or by release. But I wonder who will take the field in the opener against the Giants on that first offensive drive of the game. I wonder who it'll be. I think that's a conversation we'll get to have here over the next few days, maybe even this morning. I thought it was interesting. I didn't think we needed to see any more of Kroski-Merritt. You know, they had other running backs they could put in the game to play out the game with Josh Johnson and Sam Hartman, but there was old Bill in the second half getting carries. On the list of good, John Bates. You know, he is one of the best blocking tight ends in the league, and it is why they prioritized re-signing him when free agency began. They got it done quickly with Bates. They did not want to lose John Bates. He's an extremely valuable part of what they want to be, especially in the run game. I thought the rest of the offensive line, even without, you know, the couple of the pieces, obviously no Cosme, no Coleman, no Tunsil last night, but I thought that the offensive line did a great job. Keep in mind, and I think we all understand this as NFL fans, Cincinnati was horrendous last year on defense. They swapped out defensive coordinators. There's been a lot of discussion, you know, in Cincinnati during the summer that some of their younger players and the new DC, that they're going to be different, and if they can just get Hendrickson back, etc. It's the preseason, they're not game planning, but man, they looked, to me, they looked slow defensively, and they looked feeble defensively, and Washington dominated up front. So, you know, offensively, you know, in those first two drives, it's really hard to find anything that you don't like. There's one thing that I will mention about the opening drive that I think could be a bit of a negative. I'll get to that when I get to the list of things that were not good in the game. Also on the list of good, I thought Quan Martin was good last night. He nailed the tight end sample right before he got into the end zone on that third and goal. And then he made that big hit on the Chase Brown touchdown run. Brown just barely got the ball to break the plane, but I thought Quan Martin picked up where he left off, you know, towards the end of last year. I'm trying to think. I had somebody on the show not that long ago, a player a few weeks ago, I'm forgetting who it was, who said that Quan Martin has been a standout and there's a lot of belief in that locker room. Who was it?
Was it Smoot?
Did Smoot say that? Smoot really likes Tyler Owens. Was it Johnny Newton? Did Newton say Quan Martin?
I think it might have been Johnny, yeah.
Yeah, it was Johnny Newton who said Quan Martin. Jalen Lane, you know, we've heard a lot about him in this camp. You know, his speed, his playmaking ability, we have a sense that he'll certainly open the season as the number one punt returner, but more on that coming up. He looks the part, man. He looks like he's got really good separation ability off the line of scrimmage. He's got good hands. He obviously is a deep threat. Again, hard to be sure because the Bengals are not great, you know, we don't think, on defense. And some of his work came against backups and even backups to the backups. But three catches and a really good catch on that opening drive of the second half. But 3 for 42, a punt return for 11 yards, a kickoff return for 22. Jalen Lane, to me, you know, looked the part on offense. And I would imagine, in addition to being a punt returner, there's going to be a spot for him to contribute offensively. It'll be interesting with Debo out there and Jalen Lane. You know, we've seen him line up, you know, as, you know, the X. But I don't know what it'll be in the regular season. Defensively, there were a couple of players in addition to Quan Martin that stood out to me. Will Harris stood out to me. Cleland Farrell stood out to me. Dorrance Armstrong, who I think is going to have a big year this year. I have a feeling Armstrong is going to be a really good player for this team. Number 51 on defense, Ale Cahill, yeah, out of UCLA. I thought he just looked like a really good tackler and a very active player. I don't know much about him or what they think about him. Who else is on this list? Tressway had a great punt at the end of the first half, no surprise. But 50 yards net, 53 gross out of your end zone is pretty big. And hey, Matt Gay didn't miss a field goal. His only attempt was a chip shot from 27 yards out. But that was good to see. And, you know, the kickoffs are going to be interesting because everybody's going to be kicking that ball into the landing zone this year. You're not handing the ball to the other team to start at the 35-yard line. All right. The things that I did not like, the bad from the game last night. Again, too many penalties. You know, again, a lot of that is sloppiness associated with players playing with each other that won't necessarily play with each other during the regular season. But two of the big ones came early on the Bengals' opening drive. Frankie Louvu, too excited on 4th-and-3, jumped, gave the Bengals a first down. And then the defensive pass interference with Noah I matched up against Jamar Chase, gave the Bengals first and goal. Had a sack by Dietrich Wise that was, you know, basically overturned by a horse collar. I thought that was a questionable horse collar, for what it's worth. 7 penalties for 74 yards. You know, some key penalties defensively on that opening drive. That's not going to make Quinn super happy. They want to clean that up. They want to be, you know, a sharp team, a team that doesn't beat itself. You know, and by the way, helps itself more often than not with takeaways, something that they did not have last night. There was the Burrow, you know, getting sacked on the horse collar play, just unloading the ball in a way in which it would have been a fumble. Cincinnati recovered that. And you had the Cleland Farrell play on Browning that almost knocked the ball loose, but they called that an incomplete pass. But yeah, they got to, you know, we'll see what happens in the regular season when, you know, all of the starters are playing. But I know that that's probably something that irks the head coach. And I think he mentioned it as part of that opening statement. You know, they gave up to the kid from Purdue, who's now been in the league, what is Charlie Jones? Is this year 3 for him? He is, you know, got real game-breaking ability as a returner. I think he's got a couple of touchdowns in the league. Look that up for me. Doesn't he have a couple of touchdowns in the league in a couple of years as a returner? He took that opening kickoff, and he was just a shred away from breaking it. It was a 30-yard return on the opening kickoff. But last week, giving up Travion Henderson's opening kickoff return for a touchdown, it was almost 2 for 2. So that was something that I'm sure they want to get cleaned up, and we'll see. Look, a lot of starters end up playing on teams, and they don't do that in the preseason. And then Sam Hartman is on the list of things that weren't good from last night. He just doesn't look really as a thrower like an NFL quarterback. You know, Sam Hartman at Wake and then at Notre Dame was, you know, a big time running quarterback. You know, you had triple option football when he was at Wake Forest in college, and he had some prolific football games at Wake. You know, when you go back to like 2022, you know, but I think that Hartman looks like the odd man out. You know, that might be practice squad. And I think Josh Johnson, if they keep three, is QB3 on this roster. Johnson threw a bad pick. Hartman just stares down receivers. I mean, he nearly threw a pick six on his first throw. He did throw a pick on his second or third throw. He came back in the second half, you know, and had a couple of decent throws. Jalen Lane, you know, bailed him out on one of them. But I don't know. Sam Hartman, to me, doesn't look... This is hardly, you know, an out-on-the-limb statement. He just doesn't look like an NFL quarterback, right? He just doesn't. And Josh Johnson has that mentorship ability like Mariota does, the high IQ. You know, I think if you got down to QB3, God, you know, help us if they do, you would be much better off having Josh Johnson in the game than Sam Hartman. Other observations from the game, a couple of them. First of all, how about Mitchell Tinsley? You know, a guy that was on this roster, signed as an undrafted free agent in 2023. And we saw some of this ability and talent. I thought it was very interesting to hear Joe Burrow talk about Mitchell Tinsley on the sidelines, saying that hopefully he's locked up a spot. He's incredibly smart and is really good. I mean, they are loaded clearly at wide receiver. Too bad he's not here, right? Obviously, I think a lot of people felt the same way. But the two touchdown catches, the catch in the middle of the field where he tipped it to himself, 5 for 73 with two just insanely great touchdown catches. He was, you know, a big part of last night's story in a preseason game. I thought, you know, another observation, I thought it was interesting how many opportunities they gave to Kaz Allen. This is a guy that we've talked about every summer for the last three summers. Ben mentioned him, you know, a few weeks ago as a guy that they like and that they're going to give opportunities to because of his explosiveness. Kaz Allen last night was back for three kickoff returns and was also back on a punt return. Jalen Lane, by the way, was, you know, back on a punt return and also back on a kickoff return. Remember, with the new kickoff rule being that the ball comes out to the 35, not the 30, in a touchback situation, we are going to see a much higher percentage of kickoffs get to the landing zone. You saw that last night, both teams. You know, these little chip kickoffs. It's funny, Washington's were lower kicks into the landing zone. Cincinnati's, I think, a little bit higher with some hang time. You know, it's you can't move until the receiver either touches the ball or the ball hits the ground in the landing zone in terms of those seven players lined up at the 40-yard line. I don't know what they're going to do in the return game, but Kaz Allen, the last coaching staff loved his upside. This coaching staff clearly loves his upside. The kickoff return rules changing means there are going to be more kickoff return possibilities. Because of the rules, you really have to have two returners back on kickoff returns. Could Kaz Allen make this team as a fifth running back, but also as a primary kickoff returner? I doubt it. That's a lot to keep at the running back position, even though he would be a designated weapon. You know, they clearly gave him an opportunity. And oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, three kickoff returns, 82 yards, 27.3 yards per return, including a 33-yarder where he got flipped into the air. And then, you know, the one punt return, you know, he back there for two of them. He fair caught one of them, and he had a very short return on the other. Jalen Lane, I think, is going to be the punt returner. I think that's one of the reasons they drafted him. And he might be one of the two kickoff returners as well. But Eckler could be that other guy if they want Eckler back on kickoff returns. Do they really want to expose Eckler to that on kickoff returns? Going to be interesting to see what they do. Rodriguez could be that guy on kickoff returns, along with, you know, a Jalen Lane. But they definitely gave Kaz Allen, you know, we've seen this. This is the third straight summer of coaching staffs believing in his ability to be a game breaker as a returner. And he showed something last night. Thought last night that Joe Burrow being in the game as long as he was in the game. Look, I'm not a Cincinnati fan. I do like Joe Burrow, but God, he took some shots. Like, Washington defensively was very aggressive last night. You know, even when they didn't blitz but showed blitz, they got after quarterbacks. I thought, by the way, Jake Browning did a phenomenal job in the face of pressure last night. Joe Burrow took an unnecessary hit or two in a preseason game. He got out of it unscathed. But they clearly do not think that doing things the way they've been doing them is a prescription for a fast start. So they completely changed it up. But last night they had Joe Burrow in there after the first series for another two series. Was he in there for three or four? Maybe three total. But it wasn't with other frontline starters, and it was in front of a makeshift offensive line going in. You know, Ben Baby, who covers the team for Cincinnati, said a big concern is kind of the offensive line going into last night's game, which, by the way, I should have added to kind of the good list, which is I thought Washington up front defensively looked great. But again, you know, that was a makeshift and a little bit, you know, injury-plagued offensive line. I couldn't believe, though, how long Joe Burrow was in the game. How about Jaden going to fetch the ball for Bill, you know, after the touchdown run? This guy just gets it. And then I thought Quinn missed a challenge opportunity in the first half. Look, you don't get the obsession over these plays by the broadcast in preseason games. But number 80, Yoshi Vash, who was a big part of what they did last year, you know, is kind of their third receiver. I thought he had a catch over the middle where he was then stripped, and I thought the ball was out before his knee hit the ground. There was no challenge of that. He did challenge something else, though. I think that's it. I think that's pretty much it. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. What did you like? What didn't you like? If you want to weigh in on my thoughts on Terry no-showing, have at it. If you want to weigh in on which of the two, Chris Rodriguez or Bill Kroski-Merritt, is going to be in the starting backfield on opening day, you can weigh in on that. I do not have a guess on that. Rodriguez was the first one in last night, right? He was with the first team offense on that opening drive. I don't know if that's the clue, because I don't think we're going to see much of anybody else. And we also saw Kroski-Merritt in the game in the second half. We did not see Rodriguez in the game in the second half. You know, we've all liked Rodriguez. I think we have. I have. I think a lot of you have felt the same way, because every opportunity we've had to see him in an actual regular season game, he's looked the part as a runner. There was always kind of this disconnect with, what don't they love about him? Why do they keep cutting him? Why do they keep bringing him back? Why do they keep putting him on the practice squad? I think there was a lot of other stuff going on, but he is talented as a runner. He is powerful. He's yards after contact. He's great in short yardage. You know, he came up big in the Atlanta game, you know, in the fourth quarter of that game. I think he's got good vision between the tackles. But I think Kroski-Merritt has, you know, other attributes, same level of vision, but a bigger burst, you know, more of a home run threat. You know, you. I think my feeling yesterday on the show was that Brian Robinson Jr. is going to be replaced, you know, in the aggregate, as, you know, Billy Beane might say on Moneyball. But, you know, by committee, really, which is a mix of Debo, Kroski-Merritt, Rodriguez, Eckler, that's the way they will do it. McNichols. And they feel like that overall group just is a much better situation than bringing Brian Robinson Jr. back at $3.4 million, not only in payout, but in salary cap, space, and you don't get anything back for B-Rob next year. You might get something back now, although I think that's, you know, dicey, and I think it's a 50-50 coin flip on whether or not they end up releasing him or whether they get, you know, a conditional sixth or seventh back for him. All right, phone lines open, 301-230-0980. You'll hear sound throughout the morning from Dan Quinn and others from postgame, and some of the highlights from last night as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, The Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app. Don't forget, you can stream us, watch us on our Team 980 YouTube channel, and all of our training camp and preseason segments here on Team 980 are brought to you nationally by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico.
All right, here's what's happening on this August 19th. It is Tuesday. The Commanders, they played the Bengals on Monday Night Football last night. JD5 and the starting offense largely played only one series that took four plays, including a 40-yard rush from Chris Rodriguez and a 14-yard touchdown run from Jaden Daniels himself. It was a rough night for the second and third stringers on defense as Washington falls 31-17 to the Cincinnati Bengals. Tonight, your Washington Nationals take on the New York Mets. Jake Irvin on the bump tonight versus David Peterson, looking to get back in the win column after falling to the Phillies on Sunday. First pitch at 6:45. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:15. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's office throughout football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
He brings versatility, and he's outstanding with the ball in his hand.
Here's Rodriguez right up the gut. Not brought down. Inside the 20 and forced down near the 15. Two big plays to start for the Commanders.
Yeah, Rodriguez was the back in the huddle with Jaden Daniels on the opening drive. I don't know if that's a tell in terms of who the, you know, number one back will be on opening day against the Giants. Obviously, Kroski Merritt's got a shot. You know, Rodriguez has a shot. If we assume that Brian Robinson Jr. is done, and I think that's a fair assumption at this point. Yeah, I don't know. Your thoughts at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. What'd you like? What didn't you like from the game? If you have any thoughts, look, my thought on Terry not posting last night is, you know, I don't want to get into saying that it was the wrong thing because there's a lot about last night that I don't know. I do think that there has been growing frustration from the team side as to the Terry reaction to all of this, and more so probably Terry's agent. But what I said was, you know, what's very clear now is Terry's becoming much more of a holdout than a hold in. And I think tomorrow, with practice scheduled, seeing him on the field doing what they want him to do to ramp him up for the opener will be very crucial. Now, we heard Dan Quinn kind of suggest that they've got a plan and Terry's on board with the plan. Hopefully that plan will, you know, take effect tomorrow, because I don't want to get into the, you know, optics of him not posting and Trey Hendrickson posting. You know, a lot was made about that, I'm sure, on social media. But, you know, Terry, you know, last night became more of a holdout than a hold in. That would be my comment on that. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's start with our guy, Rylan. Rylan, go ahead. What'd you like? What didn't you like? Anything else about last night's preseason game against the Bengals?
Good morning, Kev. What Rylan, I liked the most was just seeing nothing, buddy. Just seeing number five out there running that crispy offense, getting a little Debo swing involved. The thing I can notice the most on these preseason games is just how tight-knit the group is. Seeing Bobby kind of give it to JD5 there on Journey's interview and just continuously to call him a rookie and just a kid, I think it just shows the how tight that culture really is in the building. And on the Terry front, if he doesn't want to be a part of it, well, then let's just go make a trade for Tinsley, because that guy's got some mitts on him and he can make some catches. So it was fun to watch him out there, and I just can't wait for week one.
Thanks, Rylan. Yeah, I was, you know, if you look at Cincinnati's roster, you know, at wide receiver, Tinsley's clearly a guy they're going to want to keep. They have Yoshivas, who is sort of their number three receiver, has been, yeah, last year I think was the first year of him in that role. You know, we really saw him in week two against Kansas City, remember, in that big time highlighted late afternoon game. Charlie Jones is a guy they love, you know, as a returner for sure. I don't know if they're going to be willing to move Tinsley. They probably like him. Cincinnati's one of those teams, man. You look at them right now and, you know, things change once real games start. But they're going to have to do, it would appear, what they needed to do last year, which is have their quarterback play at an MVP level, and they're going to have to outscore teams, and they're going to have to finish games at the end that they didn't finish last year. You know, both Baltimore games and the Kansas City game, all three of those games were winnable games, you know, at the end for them. They get one of those, they're in the postseason, and they're a dangerous team. But I do come back to, even though it is a league of offense first now, and it has been for a few years, it's really hard to run three straight games to get to the Super Bowl if you're not the number one seed, if your defense is terrible. And their defense was terrible last year. Is it going to be terrible this year? It doesn't look good, you know, but it's the preseason. We'll see. It certainly looks like Joe Burrow is going to have to throw for 404 touchdowns, and they're going to have to score 35-plus every week. Let's go to Ian. Ian, go ahead. Thoughts on last night?
Yeah, I don't know if you picked up on that comment that said Cincinnati has the most percentage of the cap on offense. So it's a deliberate front office strategy to overpay everybody on offense, if you will.
And it's a bit of a unique situation in that they have legitimately three superstar players on offense. Most teams don't have that. So, anyway.
But still, I don't know if you picked up on that. So to answer the question, in terms of things I liked, obviously the running offense, rush offense was outstanding. I mean, in the drives we saw, they looked good. They looked good all around. Defense, things I didn't like. The defense doesn't look dramatically different, but again, you're missing some of your starters, et cetera. I do think it's an overreach to say how the team responds to Dan Quinn so much, because if you're going to credit him that much for responding, do you give equal amounts of blame for looking as unprepared in week one? Probably not. Like I think
I don't,
the preseason,
because I just think it was, look, I think some of it falls on him in week one, but God, I mean, the first preseason game, they're all horrendous, right? But the first one, yeah, when you're sitting 30 players, all of whom are going to make the team, basically, that's a hard thing to get done, and he didn't do it. You know, he didn't have him ready, and he acknowledged that.
Yeah, I think it's hard to make like sweeping conclusions on how the players respond to coaching staffs in preseason. I think you might be right.
That
you
wasn't,
have a much higher
that wasn't
opinion.
What I did. I was very complimentary, but I went back to last year and the way they responded to him last year as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you just have a much higher view of this coaching staff,
yeah,
Quinn,
definitely,
Kingsbury, than I do. And then, I mean, Joe Witt, I don't know if there's enough. Yeah,
yep,
on that. But I think the biggest thing I wish I saw was more Jaden Daniels, and I would have loved to see him throw some passes. Like, I think that's the biggest question is, what does this receiving core look like without Terry? How's this offense going to operate? Like, you're not going to run the ball 70% of the game, so I'd like to see that, but again, it's preseason, nobody's showing anything,
yeah,
so it's hard to do. But again, God, it's bizarre that we're here now, and Micah, Trey Hendrickson, and Terry are the three big holdouts, and I think they all get done, but gosh, it's amazing that these teams let this stuff happen this late into the offseason.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the teams letting it happen in every single situation. You and I have a slight disagreement on that. I think this is more Terry and his agent letting this happen than the team letting it happen. But yeah, we've gotten much deeper into the preseason, especially in the Terry situation. Cincinnati is an odd organization. They always have been. And Jerry seems to do it this way with his star players every single time he has the opportunity to do it this way. Our Team 980 preseason coverage, training camp coverage, is brought to you nationally by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico. Your thoughts. Phone lines open. 301-230-0980. What did you like? What didn't you like? Anything else you want to comment on? Phone lines are open after last night's preseason loss. It was a loss to the Bengals, but I think Washington's first team offense in particular was the storyline from our perspective, that's for sure. Your call's next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor-advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.